You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Hi, guys. This is so crazy being here. How's it going? Good. I live in Vegas now. I used to live in Ohio. I grew up in Ohio. Woo! I am not used to this weather. Oh my goodness. It's frigid. I am a West Coaster. I've been on the West Coast for like almost 20 years now, so I don't even own winter clothes. But I am so excited to be here. I've had kind of a wild journey. It's been a very amazing ride, a lot of tough stuff too, though, along the way. And I would say right now my husband and I are in like a mountaintop season. It's exciting, it's different, it's fun, but it was a lot of hardship getting to this place and really pressing in and pursuing the Lord, even when it was really, really tough. But can I share some of my story with you? Who even saw America's Got Talent? Anyone? Anyone? Okay. Who's like me? Dustin and I never saw an episode before, and then he won. It was very strange. But in 2018, I was running. I was a missionary at the time in Texas, and I was out on a run, and my whole body was covered in chills, and I felt like I was supposed to write in my iPhone that he was going to win America's Got Talent, which was very strange. And I wrote it in my iPhone because I was like, you can't make this up. Like, it's documented, the date. It was like 2018, September 20th. And I wrote, Dustin's going to win America's Got Talent. And then every year, like, he tried out the first years. I just kept showing him, God spoke it. You're going to win. You're going to do it. And so the third time he tried out, he ended up winning. But it's been really fun. I just want to give you kind of like a backstory quickly. I grew up in a small town in Ohio. There's more cattle than people. And it was very small. There wasn't a lot to do. I had all the wrong friends. So I'm really passionate about choosing friends wisely because my parents always told me that and I just kind of blew it off. But there's a quote that says, like, show me your five friends and I'll show you your future. And it is so real. My best friend in high school had a mom who just let her do whatever she wanted. So that's where I kind of like got into trouble and made all the terrible choices that I made. Just was partying at a really young age. And when I was 16, I was actually coming home from a basketball game, and we were drinking the whole way there, drinking at the game. That's just what we did. And on the way home, like, three of my closest guy friends molested me and had their hands up my shirt and down my pants. And when I got home that night, I was so horribly covered in shame. And even though they did that to me, like, that's what happened to me, I just felt like, oh my gosh, everyone's talking about me. That's when I got really insecure. I was like a very fearless, confident kid. I like wanted the biggest roller coaster, like the fastest hill to sled down. I was just so confident, and that just like took me in this deep pit of shame and always assuming people were thinking things about me or talking about me. And then I started just turning to alcohol more to just make me feel secure momentarily, and then I would make more bad choices when I would drink. I just actually became that girl that I never wanted to be. I was the girl that everyone knew, like, if I had enough in my system, like, they could take advantage of me. That's just who I became. And so in the midst of all that, I did have a praying grandmother. I don't know, I'm sure you guys have praying moms and grandmothers, and I always joke, I'm like, there are more people in the kingdom of heaven because of praying grandmas. And she saw that I was going down a bad path. Like, she knew it was destructive. She knew where that was going to lead, and she was praying for me. Thank God. And so I had all these scholarships to play volleyball in school. I had my heart was set on going to like a big D1 college. I did not want to go to a small school. I was just like, oh, I need to get out of the small town, start over, go to a big school. I had offers at bigger schools, and there was one little school in Tennessee who really wanted me to come for a visit, and I just honestly had no desire to go there. I went to make the coach happy, and I went out with the volleyball team and got drunk, went to a baseball party, and saw a bunch of cute boys, and that's how I picked my college. I knew nothing about the school. But this is why God is so good and so faithful to answer my grandma's prayers, because I signed 4 years at a Christian college in a county that was dry. So I used to go to these chapels. I was in these seats. I always sat in the back. I had my headphones in, like, this is stupid. You know, like, what? Why am I here? I just didn't get it at all. And I, thankfully, I had a volleyball coach. So my grandma had passed away, and then I had a volleyball coach at the time who was, now I see her as a very powerful, amazing woman of God who cared more about my character than my skill set. And I was really gifted at volleyball. I had no choice. My mom was an All-American athlete in basketball and volleyball. So I knew, like, oh, she's never gonna bench me. Like, she needs me kind of attitude. And I just did what I wanted. I always broke curfew. I didn't understand her rules and guidelines at the time. And she just knew, like, what was best for me. She knew. And I was always getting everyone, like, turning against her. I was talking bad about her. Like, you know, she just wants to steal my fun. Like, I can't have fun here, you know. And also, at the school I was at, I just was like, man, everyone seems hypocritical. Like, no one's actually, what's the difference? Like, why do I, you know, I feel like they look the same as me, just they're saying they're Christian. So I just had a really bad attitude at that school. And a lot of my friends actually stopped hanging out with me because I was getting them in trouble, and they ended up, like, wanting to follow the Lord and were making amazing changes in their life. They were super happy, and I was just, like, still this insecure girl who was just hating the things I would do. And so after college, I moved to New York for 3 months, and I was there for 3 months, and then my friends were working on a TV show. It was like, they were doing like a race from New York to LA. It was called The Great American Run, and my friend asked if I wanted to just go on the road trip. So I went, and the last stop was LA, and it was my first time to LA. We went to a club at the time that I guess was really popular, and I saw a bunch of celebrities. I thought it was so cool, and like God knew where my heart was. He knew like what I was chasing, but he wasn't intimidated by that. And thankfully, I had someone praying again for me. And my first week in LA, I was playing tennis with my brother, and we met a guy who was a pastor at a church, and he invited me for literally 6 years. He was inviting me all the time, and I'm like, no, that's good. I'm Catholic. You know what I mean? Like, I would go to church like once a year. I didn't know anything about relationship with Jesus, but he was so kind and didn't like push it on me. But those first 6 years in LA were pretty interesting. I was the type of person who just like make whatever decisions I wanted to make. I was like, it's my body, I can do what I want. Like, nothing bad ever happened to me, ever. There was like no consequences to any of my actions until there were. My first week in LA, after I moved there, I talked my brother into moving. We moved out together. I basically found myself in a clinic, and I had tested positive for herpes, which the doctor told me was incurable, and I was literally like suicidal after that. I'm like, oh my gosh. I knew exactly where it came from. When I was living in New York, a boss that I worked for totally took advantage of me. I went to dinner with him, 2 bottles of wine later, I wake up naked in his penthouse and just like not even knowing what just happened to me. And so yeah, this was like the lowest point of my life, and I was just like, no one's gonna marry me. I'm never gonna have kids. Like, I'm disgusting. You know what I mean? Just I turned to alcohol and drugs more than ever because of that. And I ended up signing with a modeling agency there. It was like the biggest agency in LA. And I, you know, everyone on my Facebook thought like I was like living the dream, and they're cheering me on, and I'm posting stuff from like magazines and things. And I was so empty and insecure and miserable, and just constantly numbing myself. Like, that's why I call it fake book, because it's not real. They literally just thought I was living my best life, and because that's what I portrayed. So I did that for 6 years, and then I was at a pool party for People Magazine. I got invited to go to like a private pool party in Vegas. I met a guy there. He proposed to me. He gave me a $50,000 engagement ring, and we moved in together on the beach. He introduced me to harder drugs. It was just a mess. I was an absolute mess. We were going to Vegas every other weekend, and he bought me everything I wanted. We traveled. Like, I had pretty much everything that I feel like especially younger girls want, maybe, or think that they need, but I was so empty. And so I end up finally hitting rock bottom with him. And, you know, every relationship started off the same, too. It was like I didn't even know him. It was all, everything was physical, always. I just would meet people partying in the worst places. And I'll never forget, I was at a pub crawl for a birthday party. We were in Newport Beach, just going to different bars, and by the end of it, I was screaming at him. I threw my engagement ring at him. Everything would come like spewing out, like all the self-hatred I had towards myself and the things I'd done, and someone called the cops on me. It was a really good moment. And he was telling me everything I had said, and that night I was on the 10th floor of our balcony just trying to jump off, and I tried for hours, and I couldn't, and I passed out on the balcony, woke up the next morning so depressed, scrolling through Facebook, because that's what I did, and my brother reached out to me, who was an atheist my whole life, who was now going to church. I'm just like, what? He had been going to church for 3 months at this point, and I was just seeing some major changes in him, like good changes. He was a lot more kind than he used to be, and he was just like, your life is a mess. Like, you need to stop drinking, number one. He's like, why don't you come to church with me and maybe start volunteering somewhere, because you have a really, really selfish lifestyle. And so I committed to those three things, even though I've tried to flake the first two times at church. And he's like, can you keep a commitment for the first time in your whole life? So I go, and it's what's wild is that pastor who we played tennis with, that's the church we ended up going to. My brother went first, and then he invited me. And I will never forget walking through those doors. I was just like, oh my goodness, this, I felt this void be filled for the first time ever, and I felt like real joy. And I mean, I cried like the first 6 months in church. It was amazing. And I just felt like every time the pastor would talk, I'm like, he's talking to me. And just started making like simple changes. God would just convict me of things. I felt conviction for the first time, and I believed him, and I would just stop, whatever. Because I knew like his heart for me. I was getting why, like the why behind, you know, guidelines or the way he sets things up. I just wanted to do it so different this time. And my fiance at the time was like, not going through what I was going through. He was just like, where's the old Carrie? He wanted a party still. He was just not getting it. And he would come with me to church. He'd sit in the back, and we'd have to like leave right after. He didn't want to be there. He just did it to support me. And I'll never forget. And this is where God is so not religious. He can use anything to reach us. We were watching a movie. It was making fun of Christians, and it was Seth Rogen and James Franco. It was actually pretty vulgar. And I'll never forget sitting there. And also, I was still smoking weed at the time. I'm just being really real with you. I didn't, like, God didn't convict me of that yet. That wasn't, I was, and I'm paranoid looking at my phone, because in the movie, they talk about how do you get to heaven? And James Franco tells Seth Rogen, I think we have to follow the Ten Commandments. And so I'm like literally paranoid, Googling the Ten Commandments. What is it? I don't even know what they are. I'm like, okay, I don't steal anymore. Like, I haven't murdered anyone. I think I'm okay. But this one thing popped out, and it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. So I look it up, and it was just talking about like living together before marriage, like sleeping together before marriage, all this stuff, and how God like set this like perfect boundary for us to experience like so much fullness in him. And I was just like trying to process it with my ex at the time and my friends, and they were just like, what? Like, you've literally lost your mind. You're crazy. Like, that's not a sin. What are you talking about? I couldn't shake the feeling. I wanted to go talk to the pastors at our church and kind of process what was happening. And I'll never forget going to see these two pastors. I was sitting with my fiance at the time, and the pastors were so loving. They were so not judgmental. They were like the first real Christians I feel like I really encountered. And I'll never forget, I was sitting there, and they were just like, you know what? If you want God's best for your life, if you want to experience everything he has for you, all the adventure, like the protection, the excitement, like the joy, the fulfillment, like you guys are living together and sleeping together, like this is, he has designed this for marriage. And they were like, you know, not judgy about it at all, just so real. And God showed me like, this is Christ-centered love, what they have. I mean, the way they were interacting with each other, I'd never seen anything like it. I grew up in a really broken home with full of divorce and, you know, infidelities, and so it was the first time I'd ever seen it, and I felt like God was like, you're not gonna have it with homeboy. Like, he doesn't love me, so move it along. And it took me a while. I was still praying for him, like, oh, he's gonna get saved. I had this whole plan in my head, and I went to a retreat in the mountains with 800 people from my church, and I was, I had this plan that he was coming with me. It was gonna be great, and 2 days before the retreat, I thought like he was gonna meet the Lord there. And 2 days before, he told me he's not coming. He was going to Vegas. And then I found out he was going with his ex who he cheated on me with in the beginning of our relationship. I was just like, wow. And so all that being said, I went to this retreat the first 2 days. It was just, that's all I could think about. Like, what is he doing? And then my whole relationship was full of that. There was no peace. I was always wondering what he was doing because it all started off on such a bad foundation. And you know, everything was about the physical. It was interesting too. Once I started being like, I don't think I want to sleep together. That was the first decision I made. And then we had nothing in common. Couldn't hold a conversation. It was like literally everything was built off that, and it would never have lasted. That's why everyone's getting divorced now. It's all built on such a rocky foundation. So I went to this retreat. It was the last day, and I finally just surrendered. I'm like, first time in worship. I'd never really been in that kind of setting. And I just threw my hands up, and I was like, God, you have to take these feelings away, because I have real feelings for him, and I'm not strong enough to end this. And I know he's not the one. He's pulling me further from the Lord, not pushing me closer. And so I lifted my hands up. All this weight came off. It literally, like, I felt like God just severed it, like it was done. And I went the very next week to church without him. This was the first time I got to go to church without him. I went straight to the front. And I was so desperate just for more. And I threw my hands up, and that was the night that I met my husband. He was leading worship, actually. And so anyways, when I met him, it was like, we took things super slow. He was like all about it and ready to meet someone. He was way more about it, but I was just like, let's hang out in groups. I just wanna, this time around, I'm doing it different. Like, I'm doing it the way God said. I just trust him. And the first 3 months, and I had my like judgments about him. I totally stereotyped him. His ears like gauged, he had like, you know, the flat billed backwards hat and like just so swaggy, and I was like, oh, this guy. And he's an amazing, amazing musician. And I was like, he's a ladies' man, like I can't. And so it was the first time we actually hung out alone. It's after church. We both, ironically, were ministering to the same homeless guy at our church. And he totally like dissed him. We're supposed to all go to In-N-Out together. He wanted to hang out with just me for the first time, so we left our homeless friend. Felt kind of bad about that. But we go to In-N-Out, and it was, oh my goodness. I sat on Hollywood Boulevard talking to him for till probably 2 a.m, and he literally broke every stereotype I made. He took the straight and narrow path. He did not have the same story as me by any means. Like I made a lot of mistakes, and he was just such a good guy, and he was a missionary for 6 years. I'm like, who are you? And then he told me how he didn't drink or use any drugs, and the reason for that was his family was a mess. Like, his mom and dad met on a drug run. His dad was selling his mom cocaine, and they were the biggest partiers in their small town in Pennsylvania. Friday night, Saturday night, the party was at their house. That's how everyone knew them. And mom ended up getting, he remembers too as a child them arguing over who was going to kill themselves. He remembers them with a shotgun on the porch arguing over who was going to kill himself and who was going to take care of the kids because they couldn't do it. And so that's why he just never even touched the stuff. He's like, I've just never had any desire, because his mom got saved, dad got saved at a Christian like concert, and they ended up, you know, getting married just rededicating their life, and God healed their whole family. So long story short, my husband just like has no desire to even go down that path. And then he told me how he was waiting till marriage to have sex. And I'm like, what? Like, I'd never heard a guy say that. And he was just so fully alive. There was something so special and so different about him. And it just made me just believe him and God even more. So I took it more serious, and that's when I was just like, okay, I think this guy is like a gift from the Lord. So then we started dating after that, and I'll never forget, I was like so ashamed of my past, and I couldn't even like say stuff out loud. I could not tell him anything about my past. I'm like, oh, this guy's gonna run if he knows anything about me. So I did what I did. I tried to sabotage the relationship. I started being really like short and kind of mean with him, so that he would just break up with me, so I would never have to say out loud anything to him, because I had so much shame at this point. And so we were sitting in Chick-fil-A parking lot the one night, and he could tell, like, he's just like, what is going on? Like, what is going on with you? And I just start bawling. And I almost didn't tell him. Like, I almost missed it. The fear almost kept me, like, held me back from all this stuff now that I've gotten to experience with him and a family. And I just told him, like, everything, you know, about the STD, like, all the stuff, my past, all the people I had been with. And he was just like, God has made you new. Like, that's what he does. He's like, that doesn't intimidate me. Like, your past doesn't intimidate me. And first of all, you don't get to make the decision if I want to be with you or not. And he's like, I'm not scared of that. And I was just like sobbing. And so, you know, in the beginning of our relationship, I was so broken. And I remember just like, you know, I only knew like one way to fight. Like exes that I dated, like it was always hostile. It was always drunk and just acting crazy and throwing luggage in the street and just a mess. I was such a hot mess. And he would just like scoop me up. He'd like literally showed me the love of Jesus for the first time in my life. He would scoop me up like a baby. And he would just hold me and like tell me all the things that he loved about me and how he saw me and how Jesus sees me and that I'm not defined by my past and the mistakes I've made and I have a clean slate and I can literally do things different from here on out. And so he's just been like the most important person in my life. And it's just so cool to see. I have this picture. Can you actually pull it up? I feel like this is my life story. I don't know. It might seem cheesy to some of you, but this little girl is me. And I felt like every time God would convict me of something, every time he was like, just give this up, like anything that the world was telling me I needed to be or have, I would just give it up. And I cannot tell you where he's brought me. So many full circle moments. I mean, even living at the beach with my ex, making that first hard choice to move out, that was the hardest decision I'd ever made in my whole life because I was comfortable. It was what I knew. It was dysfunctional but comfortable. And I moved out into the unknown. And as I just kept making choices like that, it's unbelievable what God has restored. I went from, this is such a crazy story, I went from partying at pools in Vegas literally every other weekend, doing ecstasy, acting like a lunatic. And I'm not, okay, here's the thing. It's not like I didn't ever have any fun. Sure, some of those moments were fun in the moment. It's momentary though, and it's counterfeit. Because there's like a real joy that you can experience that my husband had and my sister-in-law had because they're fully alive. When you talk about fully alive in Christ, that's my husband, that's my sister-in-law. They made hard choices and they don't look like the rest of the world. But they have this joy that sometimes people don't even understand. And that's like the joy of the Lord, and I wanted that. And so it's so funny because now we live in Vegas again. And when we first moved there, they put us up in like this big suite. And I looked down, I was having a quiet time on the balcony, in this gigantic suite that I almost felt bad for, like staying, it was just so nice. I looked down and this pool looks so familiar to me. I'm like, I've been at that pool. Like, why do I know this? And that was one of two pools that I'd partied at like every other weekend. And now I'm in such a, God has like, he was just showing me, like he pulled me out of like the pit of just like destruction and despair and depression because I was very depressed, especially after those pool parties. I might have had a little bit of fun there, but like I said, it's counterfeit because I was so horribly depressed after because of all the decisions I would make. It was just bad news. And so now he's like elevated me to this place of like a different place in life. I have a husband and two adopted children, two brothers who are adopted, looking down at this pool like in a, I almost didn't recognize it because I'd never seen it from that view. And I feel like, so in my very first weekend in LA, just to give you a picture of like real joy, I, you know, like I said, I had done things that people were like envious of and I don't even know why. And my first weekend there, I moved there October 29th and then October 31st was Halloween and I went to the Playboy Mansion. That was like my first place that I ever went. And I remember my friends being like, you need like a sexier costume. And I was like trying to find something scandalous to wear so I could like fit in there. Although I got to the party and I was the most conservatively dressed person and I was dressed like a little hoochie mama. Like it was like everything, nothing was left for the imagination. I get there. And so that was my first weekend in LA. And then, you know, the Lord gets a hold of me. I am hanging out with my boyfriend, who's now my husband at the time. And it was Halloween. It was such a weird full circle thing. And this time I'm wearing nurse. I was wearing like nurse scrubs that he had. We just all dress up in stupid stuff. And I had on like a short black haired wig that his mom donated from like the cancer center. It's like all the reject wigs that none of the women want. She sends like really funny wigs to us. So I'm like wearing just something so silly. He's wearing his sister's jean shorts, Joe Dirt mullet, and like teeth blacked out. And we drive through like Taco Bell. And he's just so funny and free and crazy. He not insecure at all. He climbs through the drive-thru window. And his like butt's hanging out of the car. We're all in the car just laughing so hard. And he yells, "Happy Halloween!" to all the employees. And they just like turn and stare at him like he's crazy. But then they all bust up laughing. And I was like laughing so hard, you know, when your stomach just hurts, you can't stop. It wasn't even like that crazy of a moment. He's just created so much fun in my life. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm sober right now. This is weird. Like, I've never been sober. I've never had this much fun sober. What is happening? And it was so much more fun than anything I ever experienced in my past. It was wild. And so when I first like was going through this process and journey with the Lord, guess who was the first person I sent my journals to? My volleyball coach, who I couldn't stand. I thought she was just the worst. And I sent her my journals and she wrote back to me, in all capital letters, "I am in tears. I spent 10 years praying for you. I was on my knees for you for 10 years, and I knew you had so much greatness inside of you. I just knew you were lost, and you needed Jesus." Like, she was just so excited and beside herself. And that has made me so passionate about prayer. Like, I mean, I wish I had more time to share with you, but I have a whole book written on answered prayers that would literally blow your mind. Because it just became so real. Like, wow, I had one person like going to bat for me, and thank God she wasn't religious. Thank God she didn't look at me and say like, "Oh, that girl's a mess. Like, that girl, you know, there's no hope for her. Like, it's good luck." Like, she didn't do that. She was always so kind to me. And I just want to encourage you guys too, just to keep pressing in. I mean, the Bible says like, if we draw near to the Lord, he will draw near to us. And it's just so worth it. Like, I can't even tell you the adventure, the crazy adventure that we've been on. And I'm a snowboarder. Like, that's like my favorite thing on the planet. And God will speak, I'm sure, to each one of you, like, you know, something that you like. Like, that's just what he does with me. And he gave me this analogy, you know, because I feel like so much, we're living in really exciting times. I feel like there's about to be a great awakening. And my girlfriend actually had a vision of people literally running from the clubs and into like conferences and places where there's life, because it says the wages of sin is death. And trust me, it is. I worked on Skid Row in LA, homeless people, for 4 years. They call it the belly of the beast. That is where drugs lead. I'm so passionate about reaching people before they go down that path, because it is so hard to get out of. Every single one of our friends has passed away. All of them. We knew the biggest drug dealer there. We knew the biggest pimp there. It all leads to chaos and destruction. There's such a better way. But it's a really exciting time to be alive, because I feel like more and more people are realizing this as they see real Christians, people who just love Jesus and are following his ways, not religion. It's not religion. It's all about relationship. And it's just so crazy, because God was showing me. So when I first went snowboarding, I was like on my butt the whole time. I could not get it. And I love sports. I usually can catch things pretty quickly when it comes to like athletic stuff, but all my friends were just like bombing the mountain. I was in Aspen, Colorado. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I can't get it. Like, it was terrible. And I'm just stubborn too. And I paid like $800 to take a lesson, because I'm like, I can't stand this. I'm too competitive for this. I have to get this. It looks so fun. They were having a blast. And so I took 2 days worth of lessons when I was in Colorado, and I didn't get it there. Like, it didn't click for me. But the next trip, I went to Mammoth, California, and it clicked. And I was just like, for the first time, like on snowboarding, if you're just staying on your heels the whole way down, it's not fun. Like, you have to go to your toes, which is scary, but that's how you like carve down the mountain, and you can literally just bomb a mountain straight down. It is the biggest adrenaline rush I've ever had in my life. It is so much fun. And I felt like God was showing me that's what it is when you walk with him. And when you don't have one foot in the world and one foot with him, that middle place actually is probably the worst place to be. That conviction where you know what you shouldn't be doing and there's a better way, I felt like God was showing me that's how it is with me, and I want you to share with people how it, what you experienced in the fullness of snowboarding and the freedom and the fun and the joy, like that's what it is with relationship with me. And if only we could just go all in and trust him, he will take you on a wild adventure. I'm telling you, there's such a better way, and there's so much more. Yeah, so I just love sharing that with people and just not settling in that. And yeah, someone prayed over me once, and it was like 6 years ago, that God was gonna take me back to the places that were a really dark time in my life. I never met this person, by the way. Really dark times in my life, that he was bringing me back with a new mission and a new purpose, and I was gonna be able to help shift the atmospheres there. And even working with like children who are in the sex trade, which is like the biggest issue in our time right now in our country. That's a whole nother topic, but that's Vegas. I'm in Vegas now. Like all these things people have prayed over, so they're happening now. They told my husband, that guy said to my husband, did you play guitar? Never met him, ever. This was leaving a conference, Bethel Worship Conference, and he said, God is taking you away from the beginnings of your music career and launching you into what you've wanted to do your whole life, which is perform on stages, and you have a hope and joy anointing on your life. Your music's gonna transform entire generations of young men and women. Your music's gonna fuel ministries all over the world. And he's just looking, like God is looking right now, like who can I trust? And in those hard times, and in, when it was really uncomfortable, which we've been through for the last 6 years of not having a lot of finances, God calling us to be radically generous, even when we have a little bit. Just seeing, like, God is asking, who can I trust? Like, who is faithful? Who can I use? And I'm telling you, we just, like, surrendered everything and said, here I am, trust me, use me, please. And it's just amazing what God will do for you when you do that, when you truly surrender to him and go all in. Like, don't have one foot in, one foot out. Like, these are really, really exciting times to be living in. I'm just here to tell you, trust me. So you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for just letting me be here and share this stuff. It's my favorite thing to do. I just hope that someone can learn from my mistakes so you don't have to go through that. You know what I mean? God didn't desire for me to go through that, but he doesn't waste pain. I made my own choices, and we all get to choose. Thank God for that. He doesn't force us to have a relationship with him. We get to choose. But I'm gonna pray for you guys. Thank you, Lord, so much for today. Thank you for Monday. I pray that you would just bless this university, that you would bless these students. God, I thank you that they're here. I pray that you would just speak to each person individually. You know what each person needs. You know what we struggle with. And I just thank you for using me as a vessel, God. It's not about me, but I just thank you for using my brokenness and my past, and I pray that it would minister to someone here today, and that that they would be okay with being set apart and looking different than the world. It's actually a really good thing. It's bright, it's fun, and it's full of life, because you bring life, Lord. And so I pray that you would bless this community. I pray that you would keep them safe, and that you would draw them near to you, Lord. I just love doing this, and I thank you for this group of amazing young men and women who are world changers, and that you want to do amazing things in and through them. Thank you so much, and I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu, or check us out on the iTunes store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.